following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Hello, my name is Joshua Garcia. I am a partner here at Life Connection. I am also a resident here. This morning I have the opportunity to bring to you God's word, not just to the adults this morning, but to the little children as well. Jesus loved the little children. Can I get an amen? All right. So I figured this morning I started off with a joke. I was encouraged to do so. So I figured, you know, I'd look for a little Halloween joke. I know Halloween might not be, you know, the holiday for all Christians. We might call it Harvest Fest or, you know, fall event or whatever, but regardless, I'm going to read some jokes. How do vampires get around on Halloween? On blood vessels. Yeah. This is not a responsive reading, so if you guys don't get the joke, that's okay. Why did the headless horseman get a job? He was trying to get ahead in life. One more. The skeleton couldn't help being afraid of the storm. He just didn't have any guts. Thank you for joining us this morning. I know it's Halloween, and thankfully Halloween typically takes place in the evening, so guys didn't have to work around your busy schedule going door to door and asking strangers for candy. So thank you for joining us. So far we're still in the book of Titus. We started a few weeks ago, and the book of Titus is a book written by the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul is an apostle of Christ Jesus. He was a man who literally sought and hunted and murdered Christians. However, Christ revealed himself to Paul, and Paul became one of the most fervent, one of the most dedicated, one of the most faithful Christ followers. And he is well known for planting churches around the Middle East, the Mediterranean area, and beyond. And so Paul writes this book to one of his students, Titus. And Titus is a student of Paul. We might call him a disciple of Paul. And Titus is on the island of Crete. Now, the Crete is an island historically known for its, I guess you'd call it like the Vegas of the Middle East. You know, people sought after their fleshly pleasures, whether it be money, whether it be, you know, you could fill in the blanks as Family Sunday. So I won't say, you know, all the bad things. We call them bad things today. So Paul is writing to Titus and teaching him how to plant churches and who to put in positions of leadership in those churches. And so far this Sunday, up to this Sunday, we've seen how Titus has, what Paul is teaching Titus and what instruction Titus is to take and to lead and to teach those churches in Crete. So far we've seen Paul be very, very intentional, very particular, very practical with who to look for and putting people, elders in leadership and what they are to look like. But this morning we get to see and open up and examine how that foundation is built and what that foundation is built upon. And so, you know, if you build a house on sand, it will sink. However, if you built a house on concrete and steel, it will stand. So this morning, we're going to see how this foundation is built and what is it built upon on for Titus to build these churches in Crete. So if you would, please stand with me. We're going to read Titus 1 up until this morning's passage. Verses should be on the screen. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bond servants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative. Not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who were zealous for good works, declare these things and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So this morning we're going to hone in on this word. It's become super familiar, maybe even oversaturated, not only in Christian spaces, but also in the culture. And this word is grace. The word grace. So grace, you might see the word grace, you know, in a home, you know, etched out, you know, in wood and hanging on a wall right next to the gather sign, so people know where to come and eat and where to sit down. You know, in a few weeks we'll be at Thanksgiving. Halloween will be over, we'll be at Thanksgiving. We might gather around a table with family and friends and say, grace. And you might even say to friends and family, grace be with you. You might even say God is full of grace. Christians might even sing Amazing Grace once or twice a year on a given Sunday. However, the Bible reveals that grace is not just something you say over dinner. And grace is more than just a sign you hang in your home. This morning we're going to see that God's gift of grace gives glimpses of good news. So this morning when we read this passage, I challenge you to do a little exercise. Every time you see the word grace, think or replace it with the word Jesus, with the name Jesus. And so this morning we're going to see how God's gift of grace gives glimpses of good news in four different ways. We're going to see that grace confronts, grace calls, grace changes, and then also grace commissions. So this morning you could put in those where grace says, Jesus confronts, Jesus calls, Jesus changes, Jesus commissions. You could put his name there. So first we're going to break down in Titus chapter 2 verse 11. We're going to see, for the grace of God has appeared. And grace confronts people's old identity. So we have two pathways here at Life Connection. And these pathways are made, we value these pathways because they equip partners of our church to learn how to properly divide God's word well. And that is the Bible study pathway. How to break down God's word, how to see, how to properly interpret it. You know, not put your own opinion upon God's word, rather let God's word speak to you. We also have the gospel community pathway. As a church, we value community. We value Christ-like community. What that means is selflessly serving one another. That means engaging people where they're at, meeting them at their door. Might mean sharing a meal with one another. And if you're in the Bible study pathway, we've gone through the Gospel of John. And we see Jesus refer to himself in these I am statements. In the I am statements is a callback to the Old Testament when Moses asks the burning bush, God's presence, God's spirit, what to call him when he goes and tells him that he was sent. God tells him to call him I am. And so if you're in this Bible study pathway, you're familiar with how John writes of Jesus and his relationship to the Father. Now, no one has ever seen God, yet Jesus has revealed himself as God in the flesh. Just as the grace of God has appeared to us, so Jesus has appeared to us. John 1:18 says, "No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." So just as Jesus reveals himself to the people in the Gospel of John, without Israel doing anything, without the Pharisees doing anything good, without the woman at the well doing anything, Jesus simply appears. So it is the same with God's grace. God's grace is God's unearned favor. God, Jesus came down not because of anything we have done, but because of everything that God has done through Jesus. So the appearance of Jesus is God's unearned favor appearing to us. And so we see that grace confronts. And now as we move along, we see that grace calls. Grace calls people to a new identity. Titus 2:11-13, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So the grace of God calls. The grace of God is similar to the sun. You might, if you have plants like I do at home, you might have a handful, you might have 25. Potted plants seem to be popular these days. And so if you place a potted plant in your windowsill so that the sun can reach its petals, so the sun can reach this flower, the plant tends to naturally bend towards the sun. Right? So if the plant is receiving direct sunlight, naturally it will begin to grow in that direction. It cannot help but grow in that direction. It's natural. It is the same with the grace of God. God's grace calls you to grow into what it truly means to be human. Now, Paul writes to Titus that God's grace will bring salvation for all people, and God's grace will train us to forgo ungodliness for a godly lifestyle. Now, this lifestyle that Paul is teaching Titus, like we looked at in the past weekends, past Sundays, we see that Paul is very intentional in giving Titus these things to look for. Look for elders that do this. Look for elders that look like this. Now we need to not make the mistake of separating that from God's grace, because it is only because of God's grace that we are able to live in such a way that Paul challenges Titus to look for. The grace of God is foundational for the Christian walk, and salvation by Christ is pertinent to this radically different lifestyle Titus is teaching, or will teach. Now, calling people to a life that is morally arbitrary, it's a lifestyle apart from the supernatural work of Christ, a life apart from that is a foundation built upon sinking sand. It's not on concrete and steel. Just telling people to live a good life, tell people to not do this, not to do that, do this, do that, similar to the Pharisees. You're concerned about the outside, yet not the inside. See, the grace of God works from within out. So, brothers and sisters, are you trying to clean yourself up before coming to Jesus? Or maybe you're hesitant to fully embrace Jesus because you don't feel like you're good enough. Why? Maybe you become really angry at your spouse or a coworker. Maybe you feel like things are not going your way. Maybe you feel like you're not up to snuff. That's a lie. No one deserves God's grace because no one deserves Jesus. So turn to Jesus just like the plant to the sun, who calls you to be free in his grace, to feel this peace beyond all understanding. So God's gift of grace gives glimpses of this good news. So we see grace confronts, grace calls, now grace changes. Grace changes people into a new identity. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Again, Jesus does not call us to live a mundane lifestyle rife with good behavior. Jesus calls people to radically change, a transformation. We see in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul writes again, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. See, this new life that grace calls us into has been purchased by Jesus. And so unlike Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, where they distrusted God, they said, no God, I haven't figured it out, no God, I'll take authority over my decisions into my own hands. That led us to sin. That led Adam and Eve to sin, to death. So unlike them, Paul is challenging Titus to live in such a way to where us as a church, where you as a follower of Jesus, takes your life and places it into the pierced hands of Jesus and saying, I trust you. I trust your authority. I want to rest in you. You see, we're not saved from our sin to just go to heaven and strum a harp while passing time on the clouds. That's a lie. Jesus, through Jesus, everything's getting flipped on its head. New creation comes. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what does this look like for us as a church, as Life Connection Northeast? Well, it looks like this. When we freely give money to Christine's place, we show our neighborhood what the kingdom of heaven looks like. When we donate canned foods and serve at the Elias Thanksgiving event, we show our neighborhood what the kingdom of heaven looks like. When we run a vacation to Bible school and give away backpacks with school supplies, we show our neighborhood what the kingdom of heaven looks like. Do you understand this? Jesus redeems us by his grace to take part in the new creation with the living God. Not just in heaven after we die, but now. So grace confronts, grace calls, grace changes. So why is grace doing this? So ultimately, we can be commissioned. And we see that grace commissions people to live in light of their new identity. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Therefore, the new has come. And Titus 2:15 says, declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. So as Jesus followers, we are to declare what Paul is writing to Titus. Now, Paul is instructing Titus to tell Cretans these things in the churches that he builds. He is commissioning Titus to build churches not on good works, not on something apart from Jesus, not on something apart from the grace of God. So we are to declare Jesus' finished work on the cross, his continual work in light of his bodily resurrection. In anticipation of his return, we declare that Jesus is alive and the kingdom of heaven is at hand and that God is making all things new. All authority has been given to Jesus. So as we are commissioned to tell people about this good news, the good news that gives, that is, that grace has been given by God through Jesus Christ, we are not to fear or to be silenced by any authority apart from Jesus Christ. Why? Because their authority is only temporary in relationship to Jesus' authority that has been given from the Father, that is for all time and forever. So some scream and tear apart others for political agendas and a fight for authority, but ultimately all authority is submitted to King Jesus. Let no one put you to shame, church, in your good news proclamation. Let no one challenge your faith. The glimpse that grace gives us glimpses of new creation. This new creation begins and ends with Jesus. No one can come into relationship with God except through Jesus, except through God's grace, because we cannot do anything to earn our salvation or earn favor with God, so how can we lose it? So ultimately, Jesus is the one who gives people the glimpse to eternal life on this side and the next. How? Because Jesus confronts. Jesus calls. Jesus changes, and Jesus commissions. So this Sunday and for the rest of the week, I challenge you, church, to think, when you see the word grace, when you see the word grace in your Bible, think of Jesus. When the grace of God confronts the sin of those in the scriptures, think of Jesus. When you see the grace of God call people to follow him in the scriptures, think of Jesus. And when you see people change, when you see the lame man get up and walk and take up his mat, when you see the man be given sight that he has never had. Or this week, as we read in John, this dead man who's been dead for 4 days get up, comes out, and walks. Think of Jesus. And ultimately, when you think of how you are to live as a partner here at our local church in Life Connection Northeast, remember that the grace of God commissions you to live a life that is fully surrendered to Jesus, fully surrendered to His grace. Not just today, not just when you die, but today. And so, it's been about 20 years for me it's 20 years from today that my mother died from breast cancer. And so, in that moment, I did not ask how God could do this to me, could take my mother away from me, but what kind of God would? What kind of God who is full of grace, full of peace, full of mercy, take away a mother from a 9-year-old child? And so as life went on, despite the depths of my depression, my anxiety, my emotional and physical abuse in the home I was in growing up, God's grace called me to rest in Him. And this grace's name is Jesus. And He calls out to all who feel the weight of sin, the weight of death, the weight of loss. And He doesn't leave you where you are. He changes you. He takes your desires and says, I have something greater for you. I have desires greater for you. Desires that are not just on this side of eternity, but on the next. Kingdom desires. And you find peace in that. You find peace beyond all understanding in Jesus. So church, I challenge you, do you know God's grace? Do you know Jesus whom He sent? Not just He did die on the cross and He did absolve all sin who come to Him. However, He challenges us to live in such a way in light of that, in light of His resurrection. I challenge you as you come up here and we have a time of worship and we have a time of the Lord's Supper, I challenge you to repent and come to Him. Repent of your blindness to His grace, of your blindness to Jesus, and turn your life to Him. So if you would, please pray, and we'll enter in a time of worship together. Father, I thank You for another Sunday where we have the opportunity to fully unpack Your word and see that God's grace is much bigger than just a get-out-of-hell-free card. That God's grace commissions, that God's grace changes, that God's grace calls, and that God's grace confronts. So, Father, as we hear Your word, as we worship together this morning, let's live in light of that. And when we face trials of various kinds, let us count it all joy for the grace and for the peace and for the mercy that we find in Jesus. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.